Morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at verses 21 through 33. That's the rest of chapter 5. Now, Paul is continuing in some practical instruction, and it regards here the marriage between a husband and his wife, a man and a woman. And Paul is speaking regarding the expectations that are put upon the wife and the expectations upon the husband. And what we see him doing here is he always ties it back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's anchored in our Savior. We're given a view, a spiritual view of our Lord and what he did for us. And so what we see here is the love that Christ has for the church. The church is the bride of Christ, and she's called the bride, the Lamb's wife, over in Revelation 21:9. And so the Spirit here is tying the word, this word here, to Christ, because the more that we see of our Savior, the more that we see him and understand how he's effecting and controlling all things, including in our relationships with people in this world and our relationships with family members and friends and bosses and all the relationships that we have, the more we see of him and trust him, the easier it is for us to hear the exhortation that Paul is giving here in regards to submitting and loving. And the more we see Christ, the less of a burden it is upon us. And so we can apply the understanding that we receive here. We can apply this same understanding to all the relationships that we have in this life. I've titled the message, Concerning Christ and the Church. Concerning Christ and the Church. And I want to begin with seeing that our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. All things. And so the place where the believer begins here is with an understanding that our God is in control of everything. He's sovereign. He's ruling and reigning all things right now. He is the sovereign God, the King of all. Now look at verse 21, Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now, submission is not something that comes easy to most people. And when we think of submission, it makes us uncomfortable. And it can even make us cringe when we think about submitting to another. Because it involves one yielding their will and their actions to the will of another. And one of the easiest illustrations I can give is with our children. Our children submit to their parents. Their will and their actions are overruled often by the will of their parents. And so no one as an adult really likes to be put in that position where perhaps they feel like a child. But I think most would agree with this, that the more we respect a person, the more we respect their authority and who they are, the easier it is to submit to their will than if they were someone that we didn't respect. It gets much more difficult if there's someone in a position of authority having some form of rule over us, such as a boss, if we don't respect them. It can be very hard and very challenging to do that. So to those that are in authority, including parents, including husbands, respect is something that's earned. It's not something that is just given. It's earned. And therefore, those that respect you will have a much easier time of hearing what you're saying and submitting to what you're saying to them. Now, in the context here that Paul uses it, he's appealing to the believer's confidence in the Lord, if you notice. He's appealing to our confidence in the Lord. He says, in the fear of God, in reverence to your Lord. Submit yourselves one to another in reverence, in fear of God. And what he's saying there is, as believers, we know that our God is sovereign. He's ruling and reigning over all. There's no greater authority. And all authorities here on earth have their head, that which goes all the way up to the Father. There's no one higher than him. He rules over all. Daniel 4, verse 35, we read, God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So that when God purposes to do a thing, it shall be done. What he wills, we shall do. It shall be done according to his will. You can see a little of this in Ephesians 1, verse 9. 1 verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So our God is sovereign. And that means he's ruling and reigning over every detail in our lives. He tells us that a sparrow doesn't even fall from the sky without our Father willing it, without him overruling and controlling all things. He says our hairs, the hairs of our head, are all numbered. There's not a one that falls out of our head without the Father knowing it and willing it to come to pass. That's minute, fine little details that he is completely in control and has authority over. And that means that our job, our influence, our station here in life, the children that we have, the children that we don't have, where we live, what we do, our neighbors, to whom we're married to or not married to your local congregation and to your pastor. These are all things which are in control of the Father. And we that trust him and believe him, look to him and trust that he's in control of all things, that he knows exactly what he's doing. And he uses these as various instruments that he controls, whereby he teaches us. He teaches us about love, about long-suffering. He teaches us about being gracious to one another. He teaches us of his power. He's revealing these scriptures and bringing them to our understanding so that we have a knowledge of who our God is and we see the truth of his word being worked out in our lives. And, you know, we see just the anyone that's had a job or you know, when you work for a living, you know there's various pressures that you're put in that can be hard upon us. And there's relationships that we have that can be difficult and put pressures upon us, but it's made for our good, the believer's good, because when there are difficulties and when there are trials, it teaches us to really lean upon the Lord. It brings us to our knees when there are difficulties and pressures that come about of things that we care about and people that we care about. It can be a challenge to us. And so it causes us to seek our Lord's grace in time of great need. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so our God is is in everything that we go through, everything that we're experiencing and feeling and the challenges and difficulties. Our Lord is there. And we learn as believers, as his children, to turn to him and cry out to him and seek him for grace and mercy. And so some of these things, we draw great happiness and comfort from a lot of these things. And then we also have times of sorrow and sadness. But our Lord is using it all for his will and purpose. And so trust your Lord. Trust your God. He is sovereign. Trust where he's put you. Trust the relationships he's put you in. And believe him. It's all according to his will and purpose. And so ever looking to your sovereign Lord is going to help you in terms of submission. When he says, submit yourselves one to another, whether you're leaning on a brother or a sister in Christ, talking to your pastor, wives, speaking and dealing with their husbands, trust your Lord. Because in submission to others, where the Lord puts us in those and we see it and understand it, we're submitting to God. We're submitting to his authority and his headship. And so he brings everything to pass. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we learn to thank him in doing the will of our God, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. All right, so with that understanding that God is sovereign, that he's overruling and reigning in all things, now we can look at the rest of these verses. And we begin here with a word to the wives. The wife is a picture of the church, and the church is the wife of Christ. Now, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're married or unmarried, you can hear this exhortation as a believer. You can hear this. Men and women can hear this exhortation as a believer in the church of Christ. Now let's read verses 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so I was thinking of this, and I was just thinking of scriptures, how the Lord teaches us as believers, and then you wives and you that are under authority, you can take that understanding and apply it to your submission to another. For example, our Lord was teaching the great commandment in Mark 12, verse 30. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And we see in the teaching of the Lord by his grace, by his spirit, as a believer, we strive to please the Lord in all things. We strive to serve our Lord in all things with our heart and our mind. We desire to please him and do what he would have us to do. But we also see how weak we are, how far short we come up in our service to the Lord. But when we fail, when we don't do that, when we don't serve the Lord as we ought to, we don't give up and just throw our hands up and say, that's it, I'm not going to even bother trying. But rather, we seek him. We seek the Lord for strength. We seek him for guidance and for help to do that which we're supposed to do in service to the Lord. And so it's not, you know, we do it in joy and in gladness serving our Lord, because it's not how well we serve the Lord that determines whether or not we're saved or not. We have a desire because he puts that desire in his people, because we're his bride. regardless. So what we do is in love and in thankfulness to him. So carry that over to marriage now. And I am not saying that men, the husband, is God. Not in any sense of the word am I saying that or trying to confuse that. But what I do mean is that a wife who loves her husband, she does use her strength and her diligence, her creativity, and her mind to do those things in the household and for her husband with great tenderness, great kindness, it's very beautiful when a woman uses her abilities and strengths to serve in the household and to help her husband in that way. And so she's doing all she can do to help and to please her husband as his helpmate, And in Genesis 2:18 tells us why woman was created. It says there in 2:18, "The Lord God said, 'It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.'" And so we see the wife investing her talents and her strengths in helping her husband. She does what she can do as faithfully as she can. And husbands, don't ever betray that trust. Be thankful. Be appreciative that your wife has a heart to do that. Be appreciative and thankful, because that's a gift of the Lord. And again, even beyond wives, just in anyone who's in a position who has someone of authority over them, just to strive to be submissive in whatever it is, you know, to a boss, to do your job well, is a very thankworthy thing to do, to help any way that you can with your strengths and abilities. And you know, one illustration I've seen is and I've seen a number of good illustrations, but you know, there is a wife whose husband has passed away, a faithful pastor, and her whole life was devoted to serving him, to doing those things which he then didn't have to do, that he might serve the Lord more faithfully, more fully in what he needed to do. And she just lifted those burdens, and she invested all her time and energy in doing that for her husband who served in the ministry. You know, and I see it in my own wife who enjoys to do certain things that just lift that burden, so I don't have to worry about it. And if I do worry about it, she's don't worry about it. That's why I'm doing it. You know, just leave with me. And so it's a great relief and a comfort to me. And it is for any husband whose wife helps them and serves them in doing those things that just lift that burden. So I realize, you know, especially in today's household where very often it's two working adults, and it doesn't have to necessarily always fall out in the traditional ways that people think of it, but couples who love each other, they work those things out, and they find things that work in helping one another, and do it joyfully and with your strength. And so, in the same thing that a wife is doing things that are important for her husband, you men that love your wives, they tell you and communicate those things that are important to them. And in love, you do those things for them. And it's reciprocated in a beautiful way. And so another thing that we see here is, you know, when things don't go well for us providentially, as believers now I'm talking, when things don't go well for us providentially, we don't begin to curse God and speak ill of him to others. We patiently bear with it, and we go to the Lord and we seek his face in it. And so in the same way, wives, when your husband does something ignorant, when he does something that really is not nice or is harsh or ought not to do it, in the same respect, we don't go and just speak to others about the ignorance of our husband and call him out on it. We bear with it and pray to the Lord and trust that as he is gracious and kind and merciful to you and is teaching you, the most loving thing we can do for another, and this is true of us all, is to know and trust that the Lord is also teaching them and being gracious to them and correcting them and guiding them in the way that they ought to go. And so trust your Lord even in submitting to difficult situations. And I'm not talking about extremes. I'm not talking about extremes in the sense of there are people that are monsters and that the Lord delivers us from, and thankfully we can be delivered from that. But I'm speaking in the general sense of our weddings, where there's difficulties in every marriage. There just are, and we learn and grow, especially you believers in the Lord. The Lord teaches us and trust Him to do that. All right, now, we come to the instruction given to the husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And the more that a husband understands this, so that his love for his bride is witnessed in their marriage, in their relationship, it's easier and joyful for your wife to submit to you. It just comes much more easily. If you are loving and you're faithful in that regard to show her your love, it's much easier to and more joyful for her to submit to you, to your instruction and your care and guidance. And so, brethren, you know, he that loveth not knoweth not God, right? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so husbands who know God, who believe God and are his child, they love their wives. They love their wives and strive to love them more and grow in that regard. And so there's something here that we all can learn by the Lord's instruction in teaching husbands to love their wives, because we're all called upon to love our brethren. And so when we read Christ, who also loved the church and gave himself for it, we're learning something about love. It's sacrificial. It's giving of yourself and laying your life down for another. And the love and the redemption of our Savior for his church is the greatest love that we can know as we meditate on what he did for us and how he laid down his life for us, loving us. That's the greatest love that we can know. And so we see there the whole Godhead was engaged to love the brethren. The whole Godhead was engaged, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in love for the church, to save the church. And so we see this in God foreknowing a people. God foreknew a people. It means he loved them beforehand. Some people try to say that word foreknew or foreknow is in regards to our actions, that he knew what we would do. But in the scriptures, we see that he foreknew a people. He loved beforehand a people whom he chose in Christ. And he betrothed his people to his son. He betrothed them to be the bride of Christ and gave them to Christ that he should care for them and provide for them, and in love come and sacrifice himself for her salvation. Just as a husband loves the bride, loves his bride, and will lay down his life for the bride he loves. He's called the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His whole purpose in coming here was to sacrifice himself for his people, that he would redeem that people to himself, that she would be his bride for all eternity, that she would not be lost to death. It says, whom he did foreknow or love beforehand, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's Romans 8:29. When God chose the bride of his son, he ordained her to become one with Christ. Just as a man and his wife are described as one flesh, So the bride of Christ is one with her husband, one with her Lord. And the problem is she fell. She fell in sin. All ordained of the Lord, she fell in sin and lost everything. Lost everything. Lost fellowship with the Lord. But rather than putting away his betrothed wife, whom he loved, he came and redeemed her and purchased her with his own blood. He gave his life for her. He loves his bride, and nothing's going to change that. Nothing can take that away. Christ loves his people. And so he came and gave his life for her. He humbled himself when he took upon him this flesh. He humbled himself, and in obedience and submission to his God, submitting himself even unto death for his bride, when he propitiated her sins, covered her sins, obtained forgiveness for her sins, we see the love of our God and how he submitted and how he gave of himself. And so when we're called upon in love for our brethren to submit and to believe the Lord and trust him, that's of the Lord. He works that in his people. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's love that God has for his people who were scattered in sin, scattered throughout the world. He recovered them in the Son. And so he sent the Son. And the Son came in the likeness of this flesh and was crucified, put to death to shed his blood to cover our sins, and robed us with the beautiful garment of his righteousness, whereby we are spotless and holy and acceptable unto our God because of Christ. And that's what we see here in Ephesians 5:26-27. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And so our Savior brought us into union with himself because he loves his bride. And he does anything necessary for her salvation. Now there's actually a beautiful picture of the oneness of the bride to her husband in Genesis. Turn over there to Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 20 through 23. Here we see Adam and when the Lord created Eve. Genesis 2:20. "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." And so this deep sleep that Adam was put into is a picture of the deep sleep that our Lord and Savior went into when he was crucified and buried. Because in that crucifixion and burial, from which he awoke when he was raised again from the dead by the power of God, he perfected his bride. He clothed her with her righteousness. He obtained for her a beautiful wedding garment, whereby she is pure and spotless and holy and acceptable unto the Father in him. And it says, verse 22, "The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And so that love that we see witnessed in Adam's expression there, that's the love that our Savior, our Lord, has for you, his people, in whom he's revealed that faith and love in your hearts for him. And it all pictures the love, the sweet love that he has. Can you imagine when Adam saw Eve and what a blessing that was to him, having seen nothing but the cattle and see that there was no bride for him, and what God did for him in bringing that beautiful bride to him. And he loved her. And that's the love that Christ has for you, that are his people, that believe him. And he reveals that love to us and draws forth that same love and devotion from us unto him, to believe him and trust him. So that's the love we're to have, you husbands. That's the love we're to have for our wives. For our wives, and to love them, to give our lives for them, to be sweet on them, to delight in them, to show our appreciation to them, to be affectionate, to seek her happiness, and to protect her and speak no ill of her. She's your bride. Love her in all things, and prefer her above your parents, prefer her above your own children. Put her before any other. She's your bride. Love her. And in doing that, her submission will be a joyful thing. It'll be an easy thing for her then. Do anything to so that it's easier for her. Now, let me just say here in Romans 8:32, we see this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And just keep in mind, that's all things for our good. All things for our good. And that's how we love our wives as well. But we're mindful of their needs and mindful of what's important to them. And we help them in that where we can, which is still good for them and for the relationship. But in like manner, provide that which is good for your wife. As husbands, we're the spiritual head of the household, and it ought to be the most important thing to us. We're to be faithful to the Lord first, and then to our wives in all things. Faithful to the Lord, and as the spiritual head, do that which is right and necessary for the household there, because that's what you're called to do. All right, now let's read verses 28 through 32. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so, brethren, remember to seek Christ first in your homes. Seek Christ first in your homes. Worship him together as a family. Pray together and encourage one another. Edify one another in the Lord. And it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that teaches us this. It's the Spirit that helps us in this and leads us to Christ so that we, men and women, serve and submit to our Lord, because he's our life. And without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing without Christ. So walk by faith, seeking to do his will in all things. And submission and love, which we are called upon to show to others, it'll be wrought by his power and grace. And it'll be a joy to you in serving the Lord. Now, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord, Father, we thank you for your word. And we know there's so much here. But Lord, help us to see Christ first in all things. Help us to behold the love of our God and Savior for us, who submitted himself and went to death obediently in obedience to the Father to redeem his people, his bride. Lord, help us to see the love and the submission of our Lord and Savior to save us, and that we would, Lord, find the strength and the willingness, the heart, the desire, and the opportunities to serve one another and to love one another in the spirit of grace and love that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, we know that in ourselves we cannot do these things, but help us to hear the spirit of your word. Help us to hear your voice and be led of you, and that you would bless our households, that you would bless our families, bless the love and the relationships that the husbands and wives have to one another, and every relationship here in this body of believers, Lord, that it would be blessed by your spirit of grace. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray this. Amen.